And to keep it fair, let's go back a number of decades of U.S. government leaders. It is apparent that many of you must be incompetent. The USPS, that's the post office, was established in 1775. You have had 234 years to get it right, and it's broke. Social Security was established in 1935. You've had 74 years to get it right, and it is broke. Fannie Mae was established in 1938. You've had 71 years to get it right, and it is broke. Medicare and Medicaid was established in 1965. You've had 44 years to get it right, and both of them are broke. Freddie Mac was established in 1970. You've had 39 years to get it right, and it is broke. The Department of Energy was created in 1977 to lessen our dependence on foreign oil. It has ballooned to 16,000 employees with a budget of $24 billion per year, and we import more oil than ever before. And now, gas is approaching $5 per gallon. You have had 32 years to get it right, and it is an abysmal failure. You have failed in every government service you have initiated with enthusiasm while overspending our tax dollars. And now you want Americans to believe you can be trusted with a government-run health care system called Obamacare? We are broke. In the last several decades, we have provided foreign aid to many countries, some not even our friends. America, a country where we have homeless without shelter, children going to bed hungry, elderly going without needed medications, and mentally ill without treatment, etc. If all of the foregoing information is indeed true, we Americans must vote in more competent leaders with more compassion for our own needy. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
8.5 minutes now past 1 o'clock this Tuesday afternoon, the 6th of March, as we return to KSCO Presents and Dr. Bill Wattenberg here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
And now, KSCO presents Dr. Bill Wattenberg. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Wattenberg today, give us a telephone call at area code 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, Dr. Bill Wattenberg.
All right, we're back to you on Talk Radio over KSCO Santa Cruz, the AM 1080 powerhouse station here. And believe me, it's just amazing. The signal from the Santa Cruz station beams way up into the Bay Area, over all the South Bay, Silicon Valley, down to the Central Coast, all over the Monterey Bay Area, of course. And it's your chance to talk to all these folks, the most creative and brilliant, I think, in the country. So come along. Use it. Use it if you want it. Your number, 831-479-1080. Of course, when you're in the Monterey Bay Area, it's just 479-1080. If you're outside the Monterey Bay Area, put the 831 area code in front of it on the free cell phone everyone has anyway. And we'll go to work. And again, hey, I'll talk about anything you want to talk about. If it's important to you, that's the most important thing. And if you have a problem, a puzzle, hey, come along. But I promised a lot of folks hit me with emails after the previous hour. Please tell us how you can explain algebra and make it easy and so forth. I'll give you an example. I'll give you the simplest example in the world. Why you need algebra, and then I'll show you how to use it. But I'll give you a little puzzle. Try this out for size. You have a pile of bricks. You walk up and there's a pile of bricks, all exactly the same weight. And you take a balance scale, and you want to know how much these bricks weigh. And the only thing you have that's a known weight is you have a 10-pound weight over here. You have a piece of iron that you know weighs exactly 10 pounds. And so you take a balance scale, the kind of thing, you know, put something on one side and the other and they balance. You put a brick on the left side, and then you find out that the scale will balance if you put the 10-pound weight on the other side and half a brick. So how much does a brick weigh? Now you think about that a little bit. And then I'll show you how easy it is to solve that. And for most of you, you're going to realize why you wish you'd learned some algebra. Okay. Hey, Jeff and Salinas, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hey, it's Justin.
Okay, whatever. You're on the air. That's what counts.
I'm probably wrong, but I guess a brick would weigh 20 pounds. I don't know. Right?
Well, then let's, in a little while, let's see what others have to say, and we'll go about how the easy way they can figure it out, huh?
Okay, well, I wanted to ask you a question about the electric cars, because obviously you have a giant wealth of knowledge on the topic, but I love new technology and stuff like that. I mean, it's not new, obviously. Electric cars have been around forever, but, I mean, the government shouldn't be involved in it. It should be a private enterprise thing.
Yes.
But I did want to ask you, is there any way to, like, electric cars can actually charge their own battery? Like, I mean, it seems like...
No. And look, was it... See, I had a name, Jeff, on the call screen here, but what's your name?
Justin?
Yeah, Justin. Yeah. Justin, it's very simple. There's no free lunch. You can't have an electric car that's driving down the road recharging its own battery. That's better than perpetual motion. For instance, just a second. Let me make it clear to you now. There are lots of people who think, gee, I'm going down the road. I could put a propeller out the window because the wind's going by, and it'll drive the propeller, and the propeller could drive a generator, and the generator would recharge the battery that's driving my car. See? Only problem is that when you put that propeller out there, you create some resistance. It takes even more energy for your car to go forward with the drag of the propeller. And in fact, the car has to burn more energy than you get back from the generator. So there's the cycle that you want to think about. The answer is no.
I just didn't know if there was a way to put, like, a small internal combustion engine that could run off the batteries that would, you know, like our cars right now.
Wait. An internal combustion engine runs off of gasoline or some kind of fuel like ethanol or something else, not off a battery, see?
Well, no, yeah, exactly. Like, the battery would drive the car, but the small engine would keep the batteries charged, you know?
Okay, but now you have to pack some energy. You're back to buying gasoline or diesel or natural gas to run your internal combustion engine, see?
Yeah, but wouldn't it take a small one? I'm just thinking, like...
No, the number... Like, look, you have to do the arithmetic. You will burn as much or more gasoline in that engine to charge your battery to go a certain 20 miles down the road. You'll burn more than if you just had the regular internal combustion engine driving your car and you put the gasoline in that car. No batteries, no power, no electric motors, see?
Oh, yeah, that answers my question. I don't know that.
Yeah, well, there is a loss every time you transfer energy from one form to another. You lose some of it, see?
Yeah.
And that's why that doesn't...
Do you think we'll ever get to a point like 50, 60 years down the road where we'll ever come up with something better than gasoline engines?
Oh, yes, sure. Look, first of all, you say you like high technology. Well, the hybrid car design is one of the smartest of all. The engine is burning the fuel directly to power your car most of the time, but the electrical system captures the energy that's being wasted in most cars and puts it back in a battery and puts it back in electric motors that drive the car a ways. They are very smart designs, and I've said this for 30 years, and yet your idiots, your guru idiots that say, electric cars are nothing else, they're stupid. Because the hybrids still are a superior design to the so-called full electrics. When we have a big, big, big improvement in batteries, and, of course, the Secretary of Energy just said the other day it's coming, my understanding is it'll cost you about $30,000.
Yeah.
That isn't the improvement. We need inexpensive batteries, lightweight, that can store a lot of energy. Plus, we need to be able to make the electricity in an economical, non-polluting way, not through coal-burning power plants, you see? That's the fraud. They've made a sucker out of the president by whispering in his ear that a battery miracle is coming around the corner. They never bothered to tell him, but you still have to charge the damn batteries from a filthy coal-burning plant that's causing all the global warming, see?
Wow, why does someone need to tell the president that? It's pretty obvious.
Well, you would think that too, but they have set him up to say some of the dumbest things. And I know he has great faith in these top scientists that are advising him in the White House and the Department of Energy. But, you know, they had him stand up last week and say, oh, well, the answer to our fuel problems is we're going to get gasoline and diesel from algae. You know, the green stuff on rocks?
Oh, yeah, I heard that, yeah.
If you took all the green stuff on rocks in Florida that he could get at that day, and all the students went out and gathered it, they'd gather about enough algae to make about enough fuel to power his limousine back to Air Force One.
Okay? Yeah,
that's how significant it is, see?
All right, Dr. Will, thanks.
Hey, good question. Thanks for calling there. And now we have John in Boulder Creek. You're on KSCO 1080. John.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Bill.
What's on your mind?
I have a question about our national debt and where we're at as a country.
All right.
Okay, right now our national debt is up over $15 trillion.
Yes.
And if you were to spend $1 million a day since Jesus was born, you'd only have $700+ billion, which is about what we gave the banks during the bailout. Now, this debt is in our name. At the end of the day, all of us as individuals are going to be accountable for that.
Yes.
And both the Democrats and Republicans that we've been electing to represent us since the 60s have made the choices that resulted in this. Now, because of that debt, the case can be made that now every dollar that our federal government spends is borrowed in our name. And my question is, Dr. Bill, if we continue to elect these same people, how can our economy and our way of life survive?
Because we're kicking the can down the road for the next generation to pay for it. And at the same time, we're allowing inflation to eat up what you have today. You see, part of the way the debt gets paid is to make your money worth less, see? So that $15 trillion isn't really a lot of money 20 years down the road. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. You are losing value in your savings, your homes, everything. And when you pile up debt that is owned by other countries, and that's where most of the debt is, in treasury bills owned by other countries, that means they can buy our country with that money. They own big chunks of our country now, see?
Yeah, understood.
Well, this is what you better realize. But they don't want to think about it. They just want to run the debt up, keep the country going, keep giving away enough money to make people happy to vote for them. And there you are. And you know exactly what's happening to you. I'm sorry. And that's the truth. A lot of people don't like to hear that.
Yeah, I've thought about it, too. And it seems to me that the person that we elect as president is going to be crucial to whether or not we're going to be able to survive this as a country. And what I'm not hearing from the candidates is, what are we going to do to reverse this?
Well, most of them really don't want to talk about it. They'll talk about slowing down the debt. Or stop going more in debt, but they don't want to face the really, really tough job of how would we ever pay what we owe. Now, here's the one thing in our favor. If our economy keeps growing and the value of our economy, our gross national product, stays way ahead of the debt, then we continue to kick it down the road because we can afford the interest. But that day comes to an end, too, sometime, you know.
Yeah, it's going to. I mean, you can only live on credit for so long.
Well, that's why I don't know any other way to look at it, but I once asked my daddy when I was about 12 years old about money and land, and he said, well, boy, he said, you better realize one thing. They're always making more people, but they aren't making any more land, you know?
Yeah, I live rural on my own land in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and I feel a lot more secure than... For example, my kids that live down in San Jose in a rented house.
Well, if you have savings, they're just disappearing. Okay, the value of them.
That's exactly.
The only way you can pay the debt. So, but I remember so well when I was, in fact, that time when I was 12, I was working with my dad who was a little logger. You know about logging in the Santa Cruz Mountains. We were up in the Sierra.
Yeah.
And we were up at Tahoe. We did a job. My dad did a job for the Tahoe Lumber Company, Truckee Lumber Company, right as you go into Truckee, it's still there. And they logged a hillside over to the east on the north side of Lake Tahoe. And we were working up there. We logged about 600 acres that were up there. We did salvage logging. We did the cleanup part.
Right, right.
And when we were through, I was with my dad when we went to the office, the Truckee Lumber Company, to get his check for some payment. And one of the bosses there offered my dad, he said, do you want to take some of that logged over land up there for payment? Well, we were hurting. He needed the money badly. And he was almost tempted to. And, gee, I said, Pop, we can't do that. We've got to pay for this and pay for that and everything. Uh-huh. We were offered some of that land up there for $50 an acre.
Yeah.
You know what that place is called now?
Probably one of the ski resorts.
Yeah, called it's called Incline Village.
Okay, there you go.
For 50 bucks an acre, what do you think it's worth today, huh?
Probably a lot more than that.
Yeah, about 500,000.
I got a real quick relevant one about when I was a kid. When I came to California in the 60s, my uncle gave me a $5 bill. I could have bought 100 candy bars with that $5 bill.
Yes.
I'd be lucky to buy four.
No, you get three big-size Snickers. I just bought them.
Yeah, no.
$4.98 for three big-size Snickers.
Yeah, $100.
You know, I've got
100 candy bars. That's for $5.
My two daughters and I, you know, three Snicker bars, $5. Yeah.
Well,
I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something else that just appalls me. I don't know how average families can afford to take a vacation anymore. Have you been to Disneyland or Las Vegas or any of these places? It's outrageous. It's outrageous. Outrageous. I've spent a little time down Las Vegas. Have some business there, broadcast there once in a while. And I shake my head. How can an average family put out $150 a meal for four,
Dr. Bill, I used to vacation every year. It's been 5 years since I've gone.
Well, this is what's happening to the middle class while the White House and the administration is saying, oh, they're taking care of all. The low income and middle class are being wiped out in this country. The $5 gas alone took away all the spare money that lower income families had for their children to go out to dinner, to do anything worthwhile, and then they couldn't even pay for their houses. I don't know what the hell they think they're doing to the people of this country. I really don't.
Well, Dr. Bill, I'd like to see the establishment given a great big shock come election day and have someone like Ron Paul get elected president.
Well, you're not alone. You're not alone. Glad to hear your opinion here, and thanks for calling. All right.
Hey, one more thing, Dr. Bill. I just wanted to compliment you on your demeanor with your guests. It certainly seems to be improving.
Oh, you mean I was bad before?
I've been listening to you for a long time, and I don't even want to get into it with you.
Well, I was never known for suffering fools very long. You know that. But I think you know. If you come in and tell me that something's truth and you can prove it, I listen.
Yeah, that's true. I have to give you that.
And you've never heard me get rough with a young person.
No, not ever.
You know why? Because they're not politically loaded. They don't ask you loaded questions and sneak around they have a real question, a real need to know, and they deserve it. You know that?
Well, they're sincere, and that's a good thing.
Now, you were sincere today, but I think I recall your voice from the past. There are a few times you weren't.
There are a few times you weren't,
so you got a little kicked around a little bit, didn't you?
Well, it's not that I wasn't sincere. It's just I didn't come right up front and say I disagree with you.
Well, that's what you should have done.
Well, next time I will.
All righty. Hey, take care, and thanks. Now, next time, make it soon, would you?
Thank you, Dr. Bill.
All right. Bye-bye now. Your number, 831-479-1080. I'll be right back.
Hardware stores are your ace in the hole when you're looking for anything around the home. In Watsonville, Freedom, Marina, Salinas, and Gilroy, you'll find friendly Ace Hardware stores, locally owned, part of a 5,000 store chain for buying power, but with the local service that you expect at a local store. Try it yourself. I did just the other day. Walk in. I was looking for a couple of sheets of sandpaper, of all things. Guy greeted me within a few seconds of my walking through the door. I'm in the back of the store. I get what I want. He takes me to the check stand, checks me out.
I think I was in the store maybe about 4 minutes, but I'm on my way with exactly what I wanted and a smile on my face because I'm not late for work. That's Ace Hardware Service. Try getting that at the big box store. Locally owned in Watsonville, Freedom, Marina, Salinas, and Gilroy, Ace Hardware stores are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, Saturdays and Sundays, 8 to 6. Ace Hardware, your ace in the hole.
When it comes to dental care, you want to be treated with comfort, compassion, and competence. And we believe you deserve it. Hi, I'm Dr. Guy Peabody in Santa Cruz. Listen.
Hi, I'm Robert. I'm a local attorney here in Santa Cruz County. I've been seeing Dr. Guy Peabody for 10 or more years. I have found Dr. Peabody to be of the highest standard in everything that he does. A wonderful dentist. He and his staff fully explain procedures, truly seem to care and have a concern about the individual patient. He's done only the most wonderful of work for me, and I've never had a problem, and I would most highly recommend him to anyone.
Dr. Guy Peabody provides a comprehensive approach to treating dental problems in the most comfortable ways possible, including sedation, laser therapy, and digital imaging. It's time. Take care of your teeth. Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 831-457-0343. Or click on drpeabody.com. Wake up to a beautiful smile.
I'd seen the longevity products work for many others, and so I bought a bunch of them, started using them, had a little bit of results, but I wasn't following the regimen every day. But Aaron Dykes in my office did and lost more than 60 pounds. When I saw those results, I said, I better follow my own advice. I started taking the longevity products, and it's been incredible. 37 pounds in 2 months. Our bodies are amazing, and God gave us an incredible gift. But if our body doesn't have the tools it needs, all of the vitamins, all of the minerals, and the other key essential trace elements, we're not going to be healthy. Folks, this isn't hype. I only bring to my listeners products that I've tried myself and I truly believe in. And the amazing supplements available at InfoWarsTeam.com have certainly delivered my life. I hope you'll give them a try.
Go to KSCOTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. KSCOTeam.com. That's KSCOTeam.com.
Hey, kids, what time is it? That's right, it's happy hour. Hi, I'm Charlie Friedman, inviting you to our afternoon get-togethers here on KSCO. Join me weekdays at 4 here on your favorite radio station for 3 hours of news, traffic, weather, news talk, and a few great 78s from my vast collection. So, listen to Happy Hour on KSCO. Learn why they call me the genial genius of Watsonville. Happy Hour, 4 to 7 weekdays on KSCO.
All right, we're back to you on KSCO. Now, look, I've got hit with another slug of emails. I almost forgot. I was going to explain to you how you could use algebra to solve that simple problem. I have a brick on one side of the scale, and I have 10 pounds plus a half a brick. How much does a brick weigh? Well, I bet a lot of you guessed something. Write it down and see if you got the right answer. Here's an easy way to do it. Now, algebra would say the unknown thing is a brick. So let's give it a letter, B. Let's use the letter B. The letter X freaks people out. So we use the letter B. So B, one full B on the left side, equals to 10 pounds plus one half of B on the right side. Now, all algebra is a means for writing down what you know. That's the full information we know. And then manipulating an equation such that you get the unknown thing on one side equal to known things on the other side, and that's the answer. Well, the balance scale is the equation. The balance scale says B on the left equals 10 pounds plus half of B. Now, we'd like to get this thing moved around where we have the unknown things on one side and the known on the other side. So let's take the half of B off of each side. The scale still balances, doesn't it? So it's still an equation. Well, if we take a half a brick off of each side, now we have an equation that says one half of a brick equals 10 pounds. Now we want an equation that says a whole brick equals something. Well, let's multiply the left side by 2. Let's double it. That gives us one whole brick. But when then we have to double the other side, 10 pound goes to 20 pounds. And now we have a final equation, says a brick B equals 20 pounds. See, a lot of you guessed 15, didn't you? That's why you need algebra. Guessing doesn't give you an answer that you can really prove. But what I just took you through is the very basics of algebra. That's all there is to it. You can teach six-year-olds. My five-year-old daughters run around, solve word problems all the time. And most any others can. The problem is the teachers don't understand the basis of algebra, why you use it, what it's there for. It's not there just to manipulate symbols. It's there to solve real problems. It's there to solve real quantitative problems. And it is the language of the quantitative world, the scientific world. And if you don't understand it, you'll never work in or understand the sciences. But it's a shame. It's so easy for young people to learn it that they... And they don't, they're left out. Think about it a little bit. You're never too old, by the way. You can go pick up in any college bookstore or any high school bookstore, probably, a self-help algebra book that just has little problems. You go through page by page. It gives you the answers, explains things. Take what I just told you. Start with that. Do the next problem. You will be amazed. Anyone of average intelligence can do algebra very easily if you understand why. If somebody just shows you how, go manipulate these symbols around, get boring and dull and you don't know what you're doing. Learn why you do things first, then learn how, and you'll appreciate them. Well, if you have any other questions like that, hey, come along, we'll have some fun with them. Eric and Bonnie Doone, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Great. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just heard the caller, I think, before last talking about the electric car and if there's a way to charge it, right?
Well, so, yeah, there is, but not as a free lunch there isn't, okay?
Right, but, I mean, like a very mildly way to, I mean, a guy could engineer an alternator or some kind of generator off any time you needed to stop or slow down the car off of the wheel. You could get a little bit.
Well, that's the hybrid. That is what the hybrid car does. It uses an alternator or electric motor that, first of all, can propel the car a little bit if the battery's charged. But then when it comes to slowing down, it turns it around and it uses the electric motor as a generator to slow you down. You're putting energy back in the battery. Eh?
Right. Yeah. So that was my thought. I didn't catch the whole call, but I'm like, well, wait.
Well, that is the basic hybrid car design. That's its whole purpose. Okay. That's the reason you'll notice that the hybrid cars give you better mileage in the city than they do cruising out on the highway. Cruising out on the highway, you have to use a little internal combustion engine all the time. But in the city, you accelerate with the internal combustion engine for a period of time. Then when you go to slow down, the electric generator sucks the energy back that's going to be wasted, puts it back in the battery, and gives you a little more efficiency.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of an obvious one. I mean, you can get a little bit out of your braking. So.
Well, it's called dynamic braking. It's been around for 100 years. And look, electric cars were around back at the turn of the 19th century. As soon as they had batteries and electric motors, people realized, hey, I can make an electric car. Just simply didn't go very far. You didn't have big batteries. Cost money.
Right.
And we haven't gone far beyond that since, that's all.
Not super efficient, the way we have to charge them and all that anyway.
Well, when that changes, there'll be a big difference. But again, right now, they're just a means of moving pollution from in the city where you're driving your electric car over to your neighbor's backyard somewhere near a power plant. That's all.
Right. Well, you never know what's around the corner in the future.
Yeah, that's true. But we have to have a healthy economy to be able to afford the research to improve things. And when the economy is kept sick with excessive fuel prices, which they've done, and you kill the middle class and lower income people, you never get to the point that you can do a lot of research, you see?
Right.
No.
Yeah, fuel. All right. It can't be a supply and demand thing, can it?
Well, fuel? It is a supply and demand, but we have enormous supply, but your government deliberately has blocked it off and refused to let us develop it. And we have natural gas. Look, let me tell you all again. Go to my webpage, drbill.us. There's a letter there to the president. The whole world's paying attention to it now, that tells him how he could use natural gas for our federal vehicles and bring the price of gasoline for everyone else down to $2.
Right.
Well, guess what happened last week? General Motors and Chrysler both announced that they will now start making the bi-fuel vehicles that run on compressed natural gas and or gasoline the way I've been proposing for 3 years. The way 360,000 have clicked on that letter on my webpage and sent it to Congress and the White House. Secretary of Energy won't even mention it. And yet people are doing it on their own now. You will be able to buy a car that runs on compressed natural gas, half the cost of gasoline, runs better, by the way. And they're running around, they're well over 300,000 already in this country.
So. Right. Hey, back when the fuel was like up to $5 a gallon a couple of years back.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't the demand pretty much the same. I didn't notice.
The demand's dropped about 20%, 18% over the last 3 years, and that has squeezed people down to as low as they can go, and yet you still have your Department of Energy and the White House and others telling you you're evil for driving to work, you should suffer and be punished for doing it, and yet you're paying for their cushy butts and their leather chairs and airplanes, okay?
Yeah,
all right, Rory, and I have to move on. Rory Salinas, you're on KSCO, Rory.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Dr. Bill, for taking my call. I was going to say, too, yeah, that diesel electric locomotives use that dynamic braking and have for a long time.
Oh, yeah, that's been around for 60, 80 years, yes.
And I remember asking why they were coming off the Cuesta Grade there in San Luis Obispo, and my older brother was in town that had more engineering knowledge than I did, and I go, why did they make that noise? And you really hear them humming.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming down the grade, and he goes, oh, that's dynamic braking.
That's so right. They're using the generators. The generators are being used as brakes. See, anytime you have to put energy into a generator, it's taking energy out of your system. It's braking you. It's resisting being turned. Eh? And that's the dynamic braking. So the big motors that propel the locomotives are turned around to be generators. So.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for bringing up the simple algebraic equation, and I've got one for you. With the run-up in the price of gas, I saw it here in Watsonville, literally in 1 week go from $3.63 a gallon up to pushing $4.20. So now it's $4.23.
Yes.
So I did a quick little ratio, back of the envelope ratio. So the price for a barrel of 55-gallon barrel of oil has been around $100 for quite a few months. So
yes.
I did 3.63 is to 100 as X is to 107. Well, X equals $3.88. So we are being gouged, folks.
Oh, well, look, here's what...
ratio.
Well, sure, but here's what happens. They don't instantly follow the price of oil. The oil companies buy oil today. They store it to be used 30 days from now, you see.
Correct.
Now, in fairness, even though the price of oil went from $50 to $100, they should still be making gasoline for you appropriate to $50 a barrel oil, shouldn't they? Well, they don't do that.
Yeah, for 30 days.
For 30 days, but they don't do that. So they make a nice, handsome profit. On the other hand, they have to speculate out the other end with a lot of costs that the costs won't stay up there forever. So they don't actually double the price of gas on you, but they start raising it up immediately. See?
Yeah. Now, what do you think about this technique? I was going through Castroville the other day, and I had to get gas, and it was like 20 cents more a gallon there by the highway. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to put half a tank. What if everybody, instead of filling up, the people that fill up that are using,
yes,
you know, for work, have a credit card, what if they say, you know what, I'm just going to put a half a tank or a third of a tank, and it'll make these guys start choking on their own volume.
Yeah.
But that, do you think that would happen?
Well, it's a neat idea. It's been around every time there's been a gas hike. I've dealt with that one 100 times. Here's the problem. It only happens short term once, and then you're back to normal. Because, look, if you have to drive 500 miles a week, no matter whether you fill your tank half full and do it twice as often, you still have to buy that much gas, don't you?
Back to the equation, right?
Yeah, back to the equation. So the first time you do it, if you had everybody to do that, for about 3 days, the stations would have some excess gasoline. But boy, you come back hungrier than hell after 3 days, and you have to have it all, see?
Yeah.
And you know what? When they see you coming, they double the price to teach you a lesson, see?
Well, Dr. Bill, I love your program. Keep up the equations. Help us to think, and we'll feed them back on this fuel thing. We got to go, like you said, with the fast showing that natural.
Well, and we have a supply of natural gas and energy bigger than all the Middle East, and they know it over there. They think we're stupid.
Well,
they think we're stupid. Go read the letter on my webpage. It tells you everything. Yeah.
The last time we talked in Congress seriously about looking at ANWR, they started dropping the prices.
Well,
sure
they did. Nancy Pelosi said she'd shut down Congress so you working suckers couldn't be evil and have cheaper gasoline, remember?
Yeah, I know, and it's despicable. I know that the hyper-environmentalists, they want $7 a gallon gas because they want us in rickshaws.
Well, they think that's smart, but go track the buggers around. They're running their beamers up to the ski slopes and give you the working people, the folks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then they're cruising around in their Falcon and Gulfstreams, and you know it.
I've followed these guys in the Sierra Club for years. I know where they go, who they are, and where they live. The biggest bloody hypocrites in the world. Say, I want to tell you a cute story about your gimmick for half a tank of gas and how you can get away. You think you can get away with it all? It's sort of maybe not quite raw, but I remember so clearly when I started to leave for college. I was 15 up in the mountains, and it was the night before my dad put me on a Greyhound bus to go to Berkeley to enroll at UC Berkeley. And he was starting to give me all the advice of life all of a sudden, all at once. And he started advising me about looking out for older women. You know, a young boy, you could be come under the sway of an older woman. And here's the analogy he used that was so funny. He said, boy, now you remember when we were fixing to go to Reno, and we were over there, and we were walking down South Virginia, and we walked right by that See's candy store? I said, yeah. He said, you remember they blew the candy smells out on the sidewalk and it just sucked us right in there? I said, yeah. He said, and then they gave us a free sample? And I said, yeah. And said, and then you remember we ended up buying the whole box.
What a great analogy.
I didn't catch on until a few years later.
Hey, Dr. Bill, last comment. Did you ever read the Little Britches story series by Ralph Moody?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
You would love them. We read them to our kids. Wonderful. It was about a family, just in brief, that moved out from Colorado in the turn of the century, the 1890s, to Colorado because the dad was sick with emphysema or something. And it just starts off with Man of the Family. And he wrote about 8 books in the series.
No, I didn't read that one.
Wonderful stories.
All right, I'll have to look.
For today.
Well, I'm looking for some. I have a 7-year-old and 11-year-old, and they're eating up books. I'll find those. Hey, take care.
Look it up, little Britches. Take care.
All right, take care. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling. And the lines are open for you here for the final segment today. 831-479-1080. Come on, load it up here. It's your talk radio. Unless you want to hear me babble monologues to you here for the last 15 minutes. 479-1080, and I'm sure you've got something constructive for the world. A problem, a puzzle, something you want to know about, just anything you want to talk about. That's what it's all about. And maybe you have some observations on how this country ought to be run as well. I'll be right back.
Hi, it's your old friend MZ who's been meaning to rave to you about our fabulous new concrete parking lot here at your favorite radio station. Now, when you drive up to our building, you'll no longer have to worry about your car disappearing into a sinkhole and having to make arrangements to be winched out. We're so proud of our new one-of-a-kind designer concrete parking lot conceived and installed by the renowned Tim Whitlow of Whitlow Concrete and his crew of genius artists. I invite you to stop by KSCO at 2300 Portola Drive and behold the absolutely beautiful customized job Whitlow Concrete did for us. I challenge you to find a better, classier parking lot anywhere in the county, or the state, or the country, or the world. Tim Whitlow of Whitlow Concrete knows what he's doing, and he has the best crew imaginable working for him. Check out Tim's masterpiece, RKSCO parking lot, and then call Whitlow Concrete to make your property more valuable. 475-4499 or WhitlowConcrete.com. Whitlow Concrete is diamond certified and a proud member of Think Local First.
Well, I'm sure you must have heard this again and again.
What would you get if you combined the great taste of that breakfast drink Tang along with 187 different vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, added in the healing properties of green tea?
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Let me share with you a new tasty treat idea. Take one packet of Polyburst energy drink and pour it into a hot cup of water. That's right, a hot cup. Mmm, tastes delicious, especially in these cold, chilly days. Or instead of a cup of coffee or tea.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Long-term sustained energy without the jitters. It helped people lose weight and gave more cellular nutrition than the best multivitamin known to man.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
The natural energy drink polymers. Try it, you'll like it.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let us begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Do you have plumage? Please tell me you answered no, which means you need to get a fishing license and have your boat registered, because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
If you've had it up to here with bickering from the left and right, then tune in to the Costa Report, the new voice of the radical center of the country. Every week, host Rebecca Costa asks world experts to tell us how to fix the toughest problems we now face, from an intractable recession to failing education and climate change. The Costa Report doesn't care whether a good idea comes from the left or right, so long as it works. So don't miss Rebecca Costa every Friday at 2 p.m. right here on KSCO. The Costa Report, a program for the rest of us.
All right, we're back to you on KSCO. Final segment here today. Of course, if I don't have time, I'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday noon to 2. But be sure to come in early there again and make use of this great talk radio station. Dean Watsonville, you're on KSCO. Hello, Dean Watsonville. Are you there?
Oh, yes. Hello. How are you doing?
Fine. What's on your mind, Dean?
I got an email that kind of explains the debt ceiling.
All right.
It's pretty good. Kind of a joke, but it's like it says, the Democrats don't understand the debt ceiling. Republicans don't understand the debt ceiling. Liberals don't understand the debt ceiling. And neocons don't understand. It says, let me explain. Let's say you come home from work and you find that there's been a sewer backup in your neighborhood. And your home is full of sewage all the way to the ceiling. Now, what would you do? Raise the ceilings or pump out the sewage? The sewage is another word, of course.
Yeah, that's...
It says your choice is coming in November.
Don't miss
the opportunity.
I've heard that one. I love it, too. It's a good point. Hey, thanks, Dean.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All righty. Hey, Alan in Scotts Valley on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hello there, Dr. Bill. Smartest man in the world.
Well, not really.
I'm lucky enough to have a little vacation house, and I look right down on the waves. And every 5 years, religiously, I call you about wave power.
Yes.
And I noticed the only development in wave power since the last time I called you is all the counties from here to Oregon have staked their claim on the ones that are on the water, have staked their claim to future wave power.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, then,
I mean, it's kind of crazy, but they're hoping it'll happen, and they want
to
be.
Well, fine, but all you have to do is figure a way to capture it, and it's reasonable. And I'll tell you again, there is an enormous amount of energy in the waves, but they're slow. And not much rise in the water typically. If you build a gadget that can capture some of that water, namely you need a platform that floats out there.
Yep.
And when it goes up and down, you make a gear mechanism to go over and turn some wheels and turn a generator, make some electricity. It turns out if you want to put about a $50,000 float mechanism out on that surf you're looking at and hook it up that way. Yeah, you can power a couple of 100-watt light bulbs. Does that make sense?
Huh? Here's what I use it for. I use it instead of counting sheep.
Sure.
When I'm having trouble sleeping, yeah. I'll dream up a new scheme for getting energy from the
Hey, yeah, now you're a smart man. You take care. Thanks for calling there. Okay.
You're welcome.
Hey, Scott, in Santa Cruz, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hey, Bill, thanks for taking my call. I have a tremendous amount of respect for you and your work. I wanted to ask, how do you feel about the likelihood or the efficiency of powering all these container ships that we send to and fro China with nuclear propulsion as opposed to these 2,000-ton, 43,000-horsepower, two-stroke diesel turbocharged engines?
You're going to see more and more of it. It's been difficult for commercial ships to use nuclear power because of all the regulations and what have you, but I think you're going to find it in the future, maybe not near future, because it is a tremendous just waste of energy when it's so easy for them to be nuclear powered for their lifetime almost. I mean, the greatest success of nuclear power has been in our naval combat ships and submarines. Okay. So. No question. But to get through the Nuclear Regulatory Agency, to have all the crews and experts you need for a nuclear power plant's enormous expense.
Right. Okay. Then I have another question. It's expense, I guess, is the answer. And then another question I have is, if we're able to offer tax incentives to people who purchase electric cars, how can we shift that tax incentive to a small, compact turbo diesel with a manual transmission and a slippery shape?
Yeah, elect some people who aren't idiots into Congress, okay? Get rid of the bureaucrats, the EPAs, the California Air Resources Board, which is synonymous with biggest cesspool collection of nincompoops in the world. They're the ones that make the silly regulations who say that a small turbo diesel hybrid doesn't qualify for being really green, see? And they're absolute damnable idiots.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even thinking hybrid, just straight turbo diesel.
Look, Ford has a small turbo diesel, compact car over in Europe. Runs better than 60 miles a gallon. You can't get it over here because the numb nuts regulators you have over here think that diesels are evil and they never got around to figuring how to regulate them. And therefore, they don't make them here, see?
Okay.
These are the people in control of your life. You remember when there was a poison in your gasoline for 12 years called MTBE?
Yes.
You had to pay upwards of another 20 cents a gallon. I told these idiots to their face in Sacramento, testified up there, it was toxic, it would make no improvement. Best scientists in the world told them that. They went ahead with it anyway because it gave them some reason to be on the public payroll, this California Air Resources Board. 12 years later, science caught up with them. They polluted the whole California groundwater system. They wasted $40 billion of people's money, and they're still on the payroll in Sacramento. And you know something I was going to mention? I'm glad you mentioned this. Got me to it. Students are finally getting smart, as I told them on this program the last 2 weeks. Go to Sacramento and demonstrate against the legislators and the governor, the ones that gave away your billions of dollars, which are now being taken from the schools and the universities. They're up there finally, see?
Right.
And that CARB agency wastes $1 billion a year. They forced the firing of 20,000 teachers in this state. And they sit there like the damnedest bunch of frauds in the world. And if you want to see what kind of frauds they are, I motivated a website that's world-renowned now called killcarb.org, K-I-L-L-C-A-R-B.org. Go look at the fraud that you've paid for as a taxpayer, and it's still sitting there.
It's odd to me because even with modern pollution control equipment, diesels can run far cleaner than regular gasoline.
Well, they are. They're European diesels now, the Volkswagen and some others that meeting all the pollution requirements, run smooth as silk. You go to Germany, you find most of the cars are diesel now. We're the stupid ones, you know?
Right.
We're not stupid. Your legislators have turned the country over to these regulation agencies. They don't make laws anymore. They skip all responsibility, and then you have the D students who fell asleep in the back of the room when you were in high school get on the state and government payroll in the EPAs and the CARBs, and they run your life. They run your life, you know. Yeah, I mean, you'd be better off if you picked up a raccoon and had him throw darts at a wall as far as making decisions for you, you know. Hey, take care. Wow. Thanks for calling, Scott.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Stan in Santa Cruz. Let's get you in here, Stan. You're on KSCO. Hey, Stan, where are you? Oh, boy. I got to punch you up twice there. There we go. Okay, you should be on the air here, huh?
All right. I called in once before, and you had a guest professor at the UC Berkeley. Physics, I think he...
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to run out of time quickly. What is it here, Stan?
Well, I think he said that that it's possible to have superconductors. And
well, sure, we have them all over the place, but for what purpose?
I mean, room temperature, he says it.
Well, we haven't. It's the great quest. There is no room temperature superconductor. We're hoping for it. They're still working on it, but it's long ways away, Stan, in terms of the temperature jump, okay?
Right. Well, he said at the end something that interests me. He said, I think you're referring to room temperature.
Well, what is it? What is it?
It's possible. He said it's possible.
I don't recall Rich Mueller saying it's possible. He might have. We all have to believe it's possible, but we're a long ways from it. That's all I can tell you. Okay. Say, a very special guy here. I hope this is who he is. Michael Zwirling.
Hey, thank you, Bill. How are you doing?
Hey, great. Glad to hear from you. I didn't notice you on the board here.
Hey, listen, we're getting some traction on Facebook. There's a Facebook page called KSCO Santa Cruz.
Great.
And people are writing on the wall. It seems like everybody's pissed off at me. And the radio station on this rush, people from all sides are pissed off at me. I know there's only about a minute or two left here, but is it okay if I read a little bit?
Oh, I want to hear it all. But why are they pissed off at you now? Because you started to punish Russ?
Yeah, they're pissed off at that, and they're also pissed off. They say I didn't stand up for Rush, and the others are saying how I stood up for Rush and against the women.
Anyway,
let me read something from this lady named Lisa Golanti.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. As for you, KSCO and MZ, since you can't seem to be enlightened by at least this now former listener of your station, you might take heed that millions of other people across this country do in fact feel the same outrage as I do, and as will become more and more evident as the sponsors of Rush Limbaugh's program drop their support of him one by one by one. Your complicity in condoning him, your ignorance of the real grievances toward him, and your perpetuation of the same condescending attitude toward women, as evidenced in your talk shows, illustrate a complete disregard for decency. You must only be in it for the money, too.
Oh, boy.
You know, 21 years of owning the station, not making a profit even one of those years. Yeah, Lisa, I'm in it for the money.
Yeah.
Here's what I say to Lisa when I posted this. Please come on my Saturday special radio show this next Saturday. Maybe you can enlighten me and all the others who listen to that show. I honestly do wish to be enlightened. I promise I will be courteous and polite toward you as I am with all my guests. What do you say?
Very well said. I still think, Michael, it's about 10 would-be boycotters out there pretending to be 10,000 because they didn't come on the air here. So,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, let's talk about it some more tomorrow.
Yeah, great. Have a good one. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling. That's the end of the show here today. I will be back here, KSCO, tomorrow noon to 2 p.m. Get in here early. Use your talk radio. It's been a lot of fun today. This is Santa Cruz, or KSCO Santa Cruz, at 1080 on the AM dial.
CNN Radio, I'm Shelby Lynn.
Dini, live in Columbus, where Ohio's capital city is getting ready for the results of the Republican presidential primary. Among the 10 Super Tuesday states, Ohio sticks out because it's where Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum are neck and neck.
That's why I asked the people of Ohio to think hard and look deep.
Santorum will spend primary night in the Buckeye State. He was leading in local polls about a week ago, but Romney's camp has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on ads tearing Santorum down. Romney's in Boston, and that's where my colleague Steve Kastenbaum picks up the story.
Well, Bob, the Romney campaign has set up shop in a ballroom here at the Westin Hotel in downtown Boston, where folks know him as the former governor. He's expecting an easy victory in Massachusetts. The stage here actually in the middle of the room, designed to make it look like he's surrounded by a sea of supporters and a clear front runner. That's the image he hopes to walk away with tonight, but that vote in Ohio will be weighing heavily on his mind. You see, if it's seen as a key swing state, and if Rick Santorum wins Ohio, that could be a problem for Governor Romney in the general election if he's the Republican nominee. Well, that's the story here at Romney headquarters in Boston. Back to Shelby in Atlanta.
Thank you, Steve. CNN Radio will provide special Super Tuesday coverage beginning tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll bring you all the election results as soon as they become available. Another school shooting, this time in Jacksonville, Florida. Police say an Episcopal High School employee who was fired today returned to school and shot and killed the principal with an assault rifle, then killed himself.
We're shocked. We ask you to please pray for us as a community.
That's Dean of Episcopal Cathedral, Kate Moorhead. The Ohio teenager who allegedly gunned down classmates in the cafeteria at Chardon High School last week made another court appearance today. 17-year-old T.J. Lane answered questions from the judge, who said April 3rd for a probable cause hearing. This is CNN Radio.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped the same day. And 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here are some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today I'm talking about Progressive Snapshot Discount. It's our biggest discount yet. It's the Grand Canyon of discounts. It's the white whale of keeping cash in your pocket. It's so big astronauts will say, I can see the Snapshot Discount from way up here. Well, you get the point.
The Snapshot Discount. It's new, it's a big deal, and it's finally here. Learn more at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Snapshot is not available in all states.
Wall Street had its worst day of the year as investors focused on the risk of a disorderly Greek default and soft readings on global economic growth. The Dow Industrials tumbled 204 points. That's their first triple-digit decline of the year. The Nasdaq fell 40. The S&P 500 shed 21 points. Merck was among the Dow's worst performers, sliding nearly 3%. The drug maker offered a cautious outlook, saying its profits could take a hit from fluctuating currencies. Lehman Brothers has emerged from Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection nearly 3.5 years after its collapse. The investment bank says it'll start paying back its creditors next month. And you know, the worries about the global economy are tarnishing gold. Gold price almost $32 to roughly $1,672 an ounce. That is a six-week low. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Manta.com here with small business owner Larry Vecchio of Grandma's Italian Cheesecake in the Bronx.
Be right there.
Okay. With Manta, business has grown 400%.
Seems like 500.
Well, if Larry had a minute, he'd tell you how easy it is to get your free Manta profile.
It's a piece of cake.
And how Manta helps him get found on search engines and smartphones.
New customers. Know what I mean?
I sure do. Claim your free profile where small business grows. Manta.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
I live in my car, sometimes a rental car. Every day, I find a nice, quiet place to pull over and meet a client through WebEx, face-to-face on my smartphone. This is the way to do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Your KSCO Central Coast weather, sunny skies with highs in the upper 50s to low to mid 60s. Northwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid 30s. Northerly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. And Wednesday, sunny. Highs tomorrow in the mid 60s. Northerly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Boaters forecast for Monterey Bay. Small craft advisory continues in effect through late tonight. Northwest winds 20 to 30 knots. Wind waves 3 to 6 feet. Westerly swells 6 to 8 feet at 11 seconds. 60 at KSCO, 60 degrees in Watsonville, 55 in Salinas, 52 in Monterey. Highway Patrol reporting at 138, a traffic collision with no injuries. Southbound Highway 1, just south of Del Monte Boulevard North in Monterey County. There was some debris after the accident. It's been moved to the center median, and Highway Patrol is on the scene. At 143, a traffic hazard reported Highway 156 just east of